I can remember that day as if it was yesterday. I can remember that my dad woke me up and said, "Ann, I'd like for you to drive me to work this morning." Well, that excited me very much because he had just purchased a Chevrolet Impala convertible. It was shiny white. It had red leather interior. It had a black ragtop and big fins in the back. Taking my dad to work was just perfect for a 16-year-old girl who just got her driver's license. I got up so fast and got dressed, and I was upstairs ready to go. The drive into the city took about 20 minutes, and we put the top down, and it was spring, and all of the wonderful smells of the trees were hitting us in the face as the breeze also went all over us. We rode along the Kanawha River in Charleston, West Virginia, and just took in the beauty of a wonderful spring day. As we turned the corner for me to drop my dad off at the department store where he worked, he suddenly jumped out of the car, slammed the door, and took off running. I was a bit stunned. I didn't know quite what was going on or why he departed so quickly. That would normally be the time that I received a safety lecture telling me how to drive and making sure that I was very, very careful. My dad had spotted a blind man trying to cross the streets in Charleston during rush hour traffic. He was shabbily dressed, and he seemed very, very confused. My dad ran full speed with his suit and tie, top coat, fedora hat, and he ran and he grabbed the man's arm and helped him walk across two busy intersections. My dad didn't know it, but I was totally focused on him, watching what he was doing and saying to the blind man. They were having a wonderful conversation, and in my mind, I could hear my dad offer him money for breakfast, or maybe offering to help him with the family groceries, or even asking him if he needed some help with his rent. I had seen my dad do that so many times in my life, and nothing he offered that man would surprise me. My dad's compassion was great. And what Dad didn't know that day is he painted an image in my mind that I carry with me today. It was a picture of Jesus in action. My dad showed me the hands and feet of Christ, and he showed me how to be compassionate with other people who are less fortunate and are struggling. I will never, ever forget my dad and the blind man. Our scripture this morning, as you just heard, centers also on a blind man. And we learned that he had been blind from birth. He was never able to see his sweet mother as she nursed him, or the faces of his brothers and sisters. He never could see a flower or a tree or the sun during the day or the moon at night. He lived in darkness 24 hours a day. Even more than that, he was considered an outcast in his community. And unless his mother and father helped him, then begging would be his only option. Most of us have heard this story many, many times before. And I'm sure you've heard many sermons preached from this pulpit and others about this same scripture. And whoever preached took it in many different angles. It's a great story, 42 verses long, and it has all kinds of twists and turns. But as I sat down this week to look at this text and reread it one more time, I caught myself asking a lot of questions. Do you ever do that when you read your Bible? Ask a lot of questions of the text? I was really interested in this blind man and why Jesus chose him to heal. I was also interested in the way that Jesus healed him. Mud and saliva? Really, that's very, very strange. I was also interested in to see what was happening more and more in the text. And I wondered, why does Jesus continue to heal us today? And then, what things does he use to heal us? Certainly not mud and saliva. Well, to find out the answer to the very first question, you have to go back to chapter 8 and read the very end of it. That'll show you what Jesus was doing right before he healed the blind man. People had gathered around Jesus, and he was preaching and teaching, and the Jews and the Pharisees were all around him. And it was at that time that he told them that he was the Messiah. He told them that he knew Abraham, the father of the Jews, before Abraham was even born. He said these words, "Before Abraham was born, I am." You catch the word, "I am"? That is the name that Jesus gave to Moses when Moses was on the mountain. Moses said, who shall I tell them who sent me? And he says, "Tell them I am sent them." Well, you can imagine Jesus standing there saying, "I am the Messiah. I knew Father Abraham before he was even born." That not only shocked them, it made them furious. And so what did they do? They picked up stones and they were ready to stone him to death. But Jesus slipped away. And if you remember chapter 9, it says, as he was walking along, he saw a blind man. Well, when he saw this blind man, Jesus' eyes were fixed on him. He had left the bloodless stones laying on the ground. He had walked a short distance and spotted this man. If you read the Gospel of John, you realize that John plays up all of the miracles that Jesus did, showing God's power and God's glory. And if you read Matthew and Mark and Luke, they portray Jesus as being full of compassion. But if you look at it, Jesus' power and glory was worked through his compassion for other people. The man could not see Jesus, but Jesus could see the man, and he knew the agony that was inside of him. The blind man had no idea that the light of the world was about to climb down in the man's pit that he felt he was in and change his life forever. Sometimes when we just cannot handle things, we feel like we're just in a deep pit and there's absolutely no way to get out. And so there's Jesus and there's the blind man. Jesus' eyes are focused on him without him knowing it. He didn't know that Jesus was about to work a miracle. Now, let's freeze that scene for just a moment, like a lot of you guys do with the TV sets using your remote. My husband does that all the time. He He will freeze it to make sure that I see what he wants me to see. And let's move our attention to someone that's very, very much alive today. Somebody else who's also struggling. Somebody else who feels like her life is in a pit. Her name is Margaret. She's in her late 50s, and she has lived 40 years with the memory of one day in her one-room schoolhouse. She had a teacher by the name of Miss Garner, who was bitter and harsh, and Miss Garner did not like Margaret. As a matter of fact, over the years, the anger and frustration towards Margaret grew and grew and grew. Well, on this particular day, Margaret ran in the classroom late from recess, and Miss Garner wanted to punish her. So she brought her up in front of the classroom, and she told each one of the students that they had to come up and write something on the blackboard about Margaret. And it was nothing positive. It had to be something bad about Margaret. And they were afraid of Miss Garner too, so one by one by one, they walked up to the blackboard and wrote words like this: Margaret is stupid. Margaret is selfish. Margaret is a dummy. And it went on until all 25 of those kids had written something awful about Margaret. She could barely get out of school that day and go home. Her head was hanging down as she made the long walk to her house. And when she got in her house, she ran upstairs, told her mother she was sick, pulled the covers over her head so she would not even have to think about what happened that day. She hoped the pain would go away, but it lingered 40 years until one day Margaret had the courage to go to a psychologist and try to work out her problems. After years and years and years of anxiety and depression, she got the help she was needed, and now she was ready to move on. It was graduation day for Margaret. She wasn't going to have to go back to the psychologist anymore, but he wanted her to go through one more exercise. He said, "Margaret, I want you to go back to that day. I want you to describe every single student and tell me what they wrote on the board." Margaret thought, "Yeah, that's pretty easy. I've lived with this for a long time. I can do it." And so she did. One by one by one, she told him told her about the students and what they look like and what they wrote. And she cried during this whole time. Well, after it was over, she burst out in tears, and she heard the words, "Margaret, Margaret, Margaret, do you hear me?" And she looked in her counselor's eyes, and the counselor said, "Margaret, you've left out one person." "No, I didn't. I didn't leave out anybody. I remember that day. I remember everything about it." And she said, "No, Margaret, you did forget someone. You see, he's sitting in the back of the classroom. He's standing up, and he's walking towards your teacher, Miss Garner. She is handing him a piece of chalk, and he's taking it. And look, now he's getting an eraser, and he's erasing everything on that blackboard, Margaret. Now he's turning and looking at you. Do you see him, Margaret? He recognizes you. Of course you recognize him, Margaret. It's Jesus. Look, he's erased everything and he's writing new sentences on the board. Margaret is loved. Margaret is beautiful. Margaret is gentle and kind. Margaret is strong. Margaret has great courage." And Margaret began to weep all over again. And then her tears turned to tears of joy. And then all of a sudden, she burst into laughter with a great smile. You see, when Jesus enters the scene, everything changes. And everything was about to change for Margaret. Well, let's go back and let's undo that scene of Jesus and the blind man. He was totally oblivious to what was going to happen. And he was totally oblivious to the healing method that Jesus was going to use. Jesus could have walked over and just said, "Be healed," like he said with the lepers. But he didn't. He reached down, got some dirt, used his saliva, he mixed it together, and he put it on the man's eyes. And then he said, "Go wash in the pool." And the man did, and the man was able to see. Three times in the Bible, we see Jesus using saliva to heal somebody. Did you know that that was a very common remedy for the treatment of blindness? When the man felt that on his eyes, he would have known that he was going to be healed. The rabbis wrote about it. The Romans wrote about it. They wrote about the healing properties of saliva. Jesus used a paste, much like we would use a paste of baking soda and water to put on a bee sting. My mother had grape arbors in her backyard, and I played under them all the time. I cannot tell you how many times I was stung by those bees, and I would run in the house, and she would mix baking soda and water and put it on the bee sting. I looked it up on the web last night. I thought, is that something people still do? You bet they do. That is still a remedy, a paste that you put on a bee sting. And then I looked a little further, and they offered more remedies. And are you ready for this next one? It said, if you are away from your house and you get a bee sting, reach down and get some mud, and put it on the bee sting. And that mud will help keep the pain at bay until you are able to get home. So look, Jesus used the medicine of his time, mud and saliva, much like we use medicine of our time. So the blind man was healed with the medicine of that culture. And many commentators will say, not only did Jesus use the mud because that was the accepted remedy, but by reaching down and getting the dirt from the ground, it's like creation. It's like what we were made of. Jesus used the medicine of the time. You know, Jesus will use really whatever it takes to heal us physically, mentally, and spiritually. He'll use mud. He'll use saliva, a psychologist, doctor, books, friends, anything to make us well. He will treat anything that comes in our way, include washing away our dirty sins. You know, as I look back, I believe that Jesus sat in that muddy pit with Margaret the whole time for those 40 years. Filled with compassion, he never, ever left her side. And I'm willing to bet that Margaret never knew that he was there. When she cried, Jesus cried. When she was ready to give up, Jesus sang in her ear, "Fear not, Margaret. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you and comfort you and cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Second verse, how firm a foundation, one we sing a lot. When the time was right, Jesus came up out of that pit. He lifted Margaret up and put her feet on solid ground, much like Psalm 40 says. He wiped the mud off of her and the pain, and she was now ready to share God's love and compassion with other people she met. You see, God had taken the bad and he used it for good. Same thing with the blind man. All knowing Jesus, the great I Am, knew the blind man before he was born. Jesus had been in his pit with him the whole time, and in his perfect timing, he used the medicine of the time to heal him. But there was a problem. They didn't believe he was healed. The Pharisees and the Jews did not believe he was healed. And the poor man kept saying, "I'm telling you the truth. I once was blind, but now I see." Who did it? A man did it. And they chased him out of the city. Not only had he gone through all of this tragedy, but now they chased him out of the city. And what did Jesus do? Jesus searched for him, found him, and Jesus said, "Do you know the Son of Man?" And he said, "Tell me, sir, please, so that I may know him." And Jesus revealed who he was, and the man bowed down and worshiped him. You know, Jesus is intimately acquainted with each one of us. He knew us before we were born, just like Abraham. And out of his love and his compassion, he wants to make us whole again. He will even allow himself to get his fingernails dirty or be covered in dirt to make sure that we are healed. He'll sit in our pits with us. He'll wait for the right time. He'll take anything bad or sad and use it for his glory. He did it for the blind man. He did it for Margaret. And guess what? He did it for one more person. He did it for Simon Braille. Well, Louis Braille. Louis was born near Paris, and his dad was a leathersmith. And as a young man, the dad said, "Do not go in my shop. Do not touch my tools. You may get hurt." But he went in anyway, and he played with the tools, and he picked up an awl, A-W-L, and he tripped, and it punctured one of his eyes. He kept rubbing his eyes, and the infection spread to both of them. And for the rest of his life, he was blind. He, unlike the blind man of the Bible, was fortunate enough to go ahead and go to school. And he wanted to know, how can the blind read? So over the summer, he tried to figure out the answer to that, and he went back into his dad's workshop trying to feel some of the tools that would help punch the holes so that the blind could read. And what do you think he picked up? He picked up the awl, and he knew it would help him help others to read. The thing that had damaged his eyesight was the thing that he used for good. What is your awl? What is the thing that has crippled you, either by your own doing or perhaps something like Lewis is doing? Is it a physical problem like the blind man? Is it a mental issue like Margaret's? Is it the death of someone you love? Was it your home destroyed by Harvey? Maybe it's a lost career. The list can go on and on and on. But if you're willing, Jesus can take your pain and He can reshape it into something good. How can I stand up here today with such confidence and tell you all that this is what can happen? I tell you because I was in one of those muddy pits for a while. Only hindsight has allowed me to look back and see that Jesus never ever left my side. He used a wonderful counselor to help me get things into perspective. He sent friends to encourage me, and He gave me lots and lots of time to heal. He took my pain, and He has used it for His glory over and over and over again. I remember the day everything changed. I remember the day He lifted me out of my pit. I remember when He wiped the mud off of me. And I am singing a brand new song. Jesus never took His eyes off the blind man, off of Margaret, off of Lewis Braille. And He is never going to take His eyes off of you. His compassion was so amazing that He lifted them up to new heights. And in turn, they have had the opportunity to tell others about Jesus. Jesus wants to lift you out of your pit today. He can and will take your pain, change it into something new and wonderful. Will you allow Him to do that today? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. Thank you that you are with us no matter what is happening in our life. Thank you so much that you want to take anything bad in our life, reshape it, and use it for good. We love you, Lord, and after we are healed, may we go out into the world and tell everyone the good news about Jesus. Right now, we lift the prayer that you taught us to pray up to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.